lady who had an only child said to Mrs. Pearsall Smith, "I do not dare to pray thy will be done, because I'm afraid God will take away my little boy or will send me some heavy trial." To which Mrs. Smith replied, "Suppose your child should come to you and say, 'I want to be and do just what you desire today.' Would you say to yourself, 'Now is my opportunity to make this child do all the disagreeable duties I want done. I will take advantage of his willingness to please me by cutting off his pleasures today and will keep him at hard discipline.'" "Oh, no, no," said the mother. "I would give him the best day I could possibly plan." "And," said Mrs. Smith, "can you think God is less just and loving than you?" Assuming that you, as a teacher of this lesson, believe with Mrs. Smith that God is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make any mistake with our lives, I'd like us to go over some further insights on determining God's will from a couple of chapters in the Old Testament. I would like to tell you this would be 3 points in a poem, but the truth is there are 10 points or principles. Please stop the tape now and read 1 Samuel 9, 1 through 14. The first principle I see is that God's will is often revealed while we are doing ordinary, mundane, routine tasks. What was Saul doing? He was going to find the donkeys, verses 3 through 5. Faithfulness to the task at hand is so important. Another example is Rebecca at the well in Genesis 24. We can never know when an ordinary moment might be God's moment for us. The second thing I see is in verses 6 to 11, we see that sometimes God uses a seeming chance remark or sudden idea or new thought to get us on the path of his will. The third principle is that God's timing is always perfect. Note how many things had to line up before Saul and Samuel could meet in verses 11 through 14. Samuel had been away and was leaving again immediately to go to the sacrifice. The girls, Saul asked, just happened to know all about Samuel's schedule and where to find him. While passing this town, Saul's servant had a sudden idea, which Saul didn't think was too feasible because they had no money or gift, but finally he agreed to it and decided it was worth a try in order to find the donkeys. A chance meeting? Hardly. Proverbs 16:33 in the Amplified says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly of the Lord. Even the events that seem accidental are really ordered by him." Now would you turn off the tape again and read 1 Samuel 9, verses 15 through 27. God often reveals his will for us through a spiritually minded person before he reveals it to us. Note how specifically God was leading Samuel at the same time in verses 15 to 24. 1 Timothy 1:18 in the New English Bible tells us, "This charge, son Timothy, I lay upon you, following that prophetic utterance which first pointed you out to me. I believe in a very real way that as Paul was wandering along through Asia Minor, that one day God said to him, 'Paul, that's him. His name is Timothy, and he may not look like much, but that's him. He's the fellow you're going to pour your life into.'" The fifth principle is in verse 20. Be sensitive to the restraining or constraining power of the Spirit of God saying, "Go or stay." Saul had found out what he wanted to know. What if he had said, "Well, why wait? I've got my answer. Let's go home." Again, switch off the tape, please, and read 1 Samuel 10, 1 through 16. God will confirm his will to us. Note how many and how specific were the signposts and directions God gave Saul through Samuel to confirm his will. The seventh principle is found in chapter 10, 1 through 8, and it is, being filled with the Spirit is essential if we expect his guidance. By being filled, I mean allowing the Holy Spirit to occupy the whole of our personality with the adequacy of Christ. It simply means being obedient and available to him. Look at verses 6 and 7. Obeying and yielding to him daily is the best insurance for discovering God's will and for having the discernment and wisdom necessary to carry out his will. He never leaves us on our own to carry out his will. He will guide. Wherever he guides, he provides. The eighth principle is this: God will prepare your heart to receive his will. Chapter 10, verse 9. Note that before the above things came to pass, God gave Saul a new attitude. He prepared his heart to receive his will. Count on some people trying to discourage you from doing God's will. This is one reason we need an anchor, some solid assurance from God, some promises from his word, so so we will not be moved from following the will of God. We need to know that God is leading us. Principle number 10 is, don't let fear make you hide from God's will. God generally gives us a job bigger than we are. Our natural response to this is fear. When we sense the immensity and importance of the task God is calling us to, we often feel inadequate and fearful and even attempt to hide. Look at verses 22 and 23. Where was Saul? Well, he was hiding. Note who pointed out where Saul was. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Did not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 23:24. Well, there you have the 10 principles, and you could probably find 10 more in the passages, all showing how personally God is involved and interested in communicating clearly his will to us. I wish I could say that Saul continued in obedience to the will of God, but sadly he did not. Read 1 Samuel 13:11 through 14. Disobedience and pride can take us out of the will of God and put us on a shelf. This will break the heart of those who love us and pray for us and who help us in discerning the will of God. Satan's not interested in yesterday's press clippings. Yesterday's obedience and victory are not impressive to him. The question is, how is your obedience today? Are you in the will of God?